Shout out to Teji Wajaja. Awesome. So cool. Well, did you, how about that? I hope you realize that if preaching didn't work out for me, I could always become a model. I was just some of you are like mystified. I was just such a cute little redhead kid. I was just like cute, you know, just everyone just looking. That was my mum. That's my mum. I have got photos, actually. My mum's got photos. I try not to bring those out in public, but anyway, so lots of fun. Well, let's put our hands together for these guys. What an amazing team. They were rocking this morning. This guy, I said to him in the service, said, are you enjoying yourself? He says, I'm loving it. Shredding there this morning, and it was awesome. Anyway, cool. Well, we're going to do things a little bit differently here this morning, and we're starting a new series called Transformed on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads, adopted dads, and spiritual dads, and people that have just made themselves dads in other people's lives or whatever it is. But happy Father's Day to you all. But today we're starting a new mini-series called Transform, where we're going to look about what does it mean to be born again or to be born anew in Christ? Because that's a term you often hear. And we're going to just be having a look at that and unpacking that over these next weeks. And what we're going to do is I'm going to share very briefly in the beginning. I know that's hard to believe, but it's Father's Day. Please believe me. I'm going to share. I did it in the 9 a.m., so it is possible. All right, we're going to share briefly, and then I'm going to get three men on Father's Day to come up, and they're going to talk about their stories of transformation. And I know that you're going to be blown away by what they have to share. And so I just want to set a little bit of a backdrop, and then we're going to get them up to here. And we're going to read from John chapter 3, from verse 1 through the 8, from the Amplified. Who loves the Amplified? Yeah. Come on, we love the Amplified Bible. And we're going to read from, say from verse 1 of John 3. It says, now there was a certain man amongst the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish court amongst the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs, these wonders, these attesting miracles that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Jesus answered, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot ever enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, the physical is merely physical, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised that I've told you, you must be born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it's coming from and where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus is saying very clearly here in this text to this man Nicodemus, that the only way into heaven, the only way to experience the fullness of the kingdom of God is to be born again. Not only are we born physically, all of us were born physically. If you're here, you were born physically. If you have any doubts about that, please come and see us afterwards. All right? All of us were born physically. But what Jesus says is that there's another birth that we were created for as well. And that is to be born again spiritually. So we're born physically, but God says, I also want you to be born spiritually. I hope you realize that sitting in a church or watching online doesn't make you born again. Doing good things, as good as they are, doesn't make you born again. Giving money to the church, as important as it is, doesn't make you born again. Saying your prayers, reading your Bible, doesn't mean that you're born again. You see, it's possible to do all of those things and many other things and still not be born again. How do I know that? Because Jesus was speaking to this man Nicodemus, who we know was a religious man. He was a good man. He was a righteous man. He was a man who was pursuing truth. He was a religious leader of the day. Sounds like a great candidate. Sounds like someone that you want to be part of your church. And yet he says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. So it means all those external things are not the way into heaven. Jesus ushered in something very different. It's a difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus. See, those external things can only try, and we sometimes think that those things are going to make me acceptable to God. If I do good, if I attend church, if I read my Bible, I'll do all those things. And we think that that's the thing that makes us acceptable to God. Now, those are good things and they're important things, but they're not the things that make you acceptable to God. They're the things that grow you. They're the things that are the overflow of a relationship with God, but they're not the things that make you acceptable. Jesus introduced something very different when he came to the earth. And he said, it's not about the externals, but it's about you coming alive spiritually from within. It's about, I want to awaken something. I want you to be born again spiritually, and I want you to come alive from within. I don't want it to be externals coming. I want there to be something alive within you. And so he comes into this religious context of the day that was all about externals and says, I'm going to usher in something different. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I read the Amplified, not only because I love it as a Bible, but because I wanted to, because it expands so wonderfully on what that term born again means. Let me remind you what it says. It means to be reborn from above. It means to be spiritually transformed. It means to be renewed. It means to be sanctified, which means made holy. And so unless we are born again of the Holy Spirit, we're only ever going to be born of the flesh. And then you were stuck with all the natural limitations that that brings. But Jesus said, I want you to be born again. And when you're born again, what ends up happening is that you become a new creation. The Bible calls it a new creation. And you become awakened to the true identity that Jesus created you and I for. Same you externally. You look the same. You might sound the same. You might dress the same. But there's something changed within you. You have spiritually come alive from within. And that happened to me as a young man at university. I didn't grow up in a Christian household, didn't grow up in a Christian family, and had no understanding of church whatsoever. And yet it was at university that I came face to face with the reality and I was born again. I was made spiritually anew. And I know many of us watching online here in this place have had that same thing happen to you. Just like you receive a physical genetic code when you are born from your parents. So if you look at each of my kids, you'll be able to see aspects of myself and Jill in each of them. Sometimes Jill was joking the other day, and it was a couple of years ago, and we were down at Floriard, and I think it was myself, Nathan, and Dan were walking ahead of the girls, and we were all walking the same way. And Jill said to Ashari, my daughter-in-law, said, look at those three, look at them. They all walk the same because it's genetic coding. All right, there's something there that you can just see. And in the same way that we get physical genetic coding from our parents, we receive a spiritual genetic coding when we're born again from our Heavenly Father. And so a Heavenly Father, and we receive the nature of God. We receive the nature of God. And so the very nature of the Father is created within us. And Jesus now becomes the pattern by which we want to live. Being born again, it's so different from just religion. Someone asked John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement, said this, he was a great preacher of the word, and says, why did he preach so often about being born again? And he said these profound words. He says, because we must all be born again. He was basically taking what Jesus said and said, hey, let's not play church, let's not play Christianity, let's not focus on the externals. He says, I want every one of you to come alive within, spiritually on the inside. I want you to be born again. So what happens when we are born again? Well, the first thing is that we are changed. We are changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There it is. He is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So becoming a Christian should transform your life. Some people say, I don't want to become a Christian because I'm going to have to change. You're right. But it's not necessarily the change that you think. Because it's not changing all the external stuff. It's a change that happens from within. And it's a complete change. Jesus, what I love about this is that Jesus loves us just the way you are. However it is that you walked into the building today, however you came in, whatever you've been up to, whatever you've done, whatever you haven't done, however you walked in, whether you're a Christian or not, I want to say to you, Jesus loves you. But he also loves us too much to leave us the way that we are and how we came in. There's a transformation, there's a change that he desires to see in our lives. And it's a complete change. It's not a partial change. It's not that 50% of me has changed. It's something that comes from within, and it's a complete change of my very spiritual DNA. And I thank the Lord that when I gave my heart to Jesus and I was born again as a young man at university, I had friends and I had family, including my dad, who's just recently passed away, who said to me, "You've changed." And I know what they were meaning. They were looking at the external stuff. But there was a far deeper level, because they thought it was a fad. They thought, "Oh, he'll get over it." Their words were like, "He's become religious." But I want to say to you, I hadn't become religious. I had found Jesus. I had discovered a relationship with Jesus. I have been born again spiritually from within, and I am now a new man. I look the same. I sound the same. I have the same name. In fact, my name means gift of God. How about that? I am a gift of God. I literally can say that with confidence. My wife tells me that every year to the babes, "You're a gift of God." I'm just like, "That's right, honey." 33 years of marriage this year. Woo. Come on. It's Father's Day, Matt. Calm down. Transformed, changed, a complete change. And I've become a new person. Looking the same, as I said, but transformed within. But here's the thing, it's not me that changes me, it's Christ who changed me. It's Jesus who changes us. That's what it means to be born again. You are transformed. You are changed. And that leads me to the second thing, which is this. When we're born again, it means we're set free. We're set free. It says in John chapter 8, it says, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. You see, the moment we're born again, we are set free from the hold of sin, from our past, our hurts, our failings, no matter how severe they may seem, no matter how drastic you may think you've messed up. The reality is that when we are born again, when we submit to Jesus Christ, we are set free from that sin. And we no longer are slaves to sin. We now become sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And I love that. And not only has he set us free from things, he set us free for things. He set you free from who you were so that you could be set free for what he's created you to be for. And so he sets us free. The third thing is this, is that when we're born again, we get a new love. 1 John 4 verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." You see, when you're born again, it has to affect your heart. And it doesn't matter what your journey has been, doesn't matter how hard your heart may have been, your heart will be transformed and you will get a new heart. That's the promise. You get a new heart, not a new physical heart necessarily. I mean, God can do that. But you get a new heart, that seat of your will, your mind, your emotions. You get this new heart, this new ability to love. Firstly, to love God. Then secondly, the ability to love yourself. I'm amazed at how many people that I meet that don't even love themselves. They can't look at themselves in the mirror and say, "Hey, God, what you made is good." But when you're born again, you have the ability to look and say, "God, what you made is good." You have this ability to love others, even those that you thought it was impossible to love. And then you have this, and then the Bible also says that love will be the proof to the world that you are truly disciples of Jesus. Because love just flows out from you. Everyone you meet says, "Man, you're just such a, I don't know what it is, but you just seem to love people. You just seem to have this ability." What is that? It's being born again. It's being transformed by the love of Jesus. And because he loves me, I now have this new capacity to love others. And that leads me to the fourth thing, is that about being born again, is that we get new longings. New longings, not new leggings. New longings. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And so it's kind of saying the proof of this is going to be the fact that you're going to be able to, you don't love the world, you love the things of God. And so you get these new longings, these new desires, to do things like, I want to long to love, I want to please, and I want to obey God. I want to seek His presence. I want to do His will. I want to fulfill whatever calling He's got over my life. I want to pray. I want to praise. I want to tell others about Him. Not because I have to, but because there's an overflow. I want to align my life with His word. I want to long for His bride, His church. And I want to tell the world about Jesus. Not because it's religious duties, but because something has come alive inside of me and I have new longings. I don't desire the things that I used to desire. I now have new things. So how do you let God transform you? How do you open yourself to that? Well, to me, there's three very simple, quick things that I just want to mention today. And this is it. We've got to get past where we were, and we've got to focus on what God wants us to become. Some people are so hung up on what they've done or where they're currently at or what mistakes they've made or things they've done wrong or things they haven't done or regrets that they've got. And they're so hung up on that that they can't actually enter in and become that which Jesus desires for them to become. Being born again means you've got to forget about what you were and start entering into what Jesus intended for you to become. That no longer does that define you because you've become a new creation. Paul says this about Paul in Romans 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. You know, Paul, he could have got so hung up on who he was. He had been persecuting the Christians, sent many of them to the death, and he could have got hung up on that and actually said, you know what? That's who I am. And he could have just said, I don't deserve anything else. But he has this encounter with Jesus. He is born again. And now he says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what I was, but I'm no longer that. I'm now becoming this. That's what it means to be born again. Jesus doesn't look at you through the eyes of your past. He looks at you through the eyes of what he created you to be and your future. The second thing then, you've got to give God permission to change everything. So don't hold on to what you were, but give Him permission to change everything, every part of who you are, every aspect of who you are. And then thirdly, allow that change to start today. Say, I'm not going to let another day go by without actually allowing that change to start today. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, being born again is both an event. So as a young man at university, I was born again. Came alive spiritually. But it's also a process. And even to this day, that process continues and is continuing working in me and growing me in those things. So it's both an event and a process. But wherever you're at, I want to encourage you, let today be the day. And with that, I want to invite three of my friends up here today. So let's welcome Joy and Andrew and Fred to the stage. And we thought on Father's Day it would be appropriate for us to just, and we're going to do this over the series. We're going to just be hearing from different people as part of the story of transformation. And it was amazing. They shared in the 9 a.m. and so many people came to me afterwards and said, wow, I had no idea that was their transformation story. I had no idea, because that's what we often do, isn't it? We look at other people and we say, it's okay for you. You don't necessarily understand my life. You've got it all together. You're this, you're that, whatever. But every person has a transformation story. And so we wanted to just create an opportunity. And I've asked these guys just to share very briefly. And you'll have opportunity afterwards to go and ask them more about their stories. But I want to hear about how has Jesus transformed your life, and what does that look like, being born again for you? So let's start with you, Joy.
Yeah, thank you. So growing up, I was, I think my nature was very, a people pleaser, and I wanted to always seeking something because I knew there was more. So as I grew up in high school and going into university, seeking that, I started getting into things of the world, trying to find, something higher. And so I got heavily involved in, drinking, doing a lot of drugs, the party scene, and dealing drugs, and gambling as well. And I guess those things never satisfied what my soul was searching for. And I remember one day I was at one of these parties, and I was heavily influenced by drugs as well, and dancing away. And then all of a sudden, it just hit me, and I started just crying, like weeping. It wasn't just crying, this was weeping. And it was like the Holy Spirit was there, and all the effects of the drugs just came off me completely. And I was just standing there weeping that time in that club. And I remember going home and getting on my knees and just crying out to God. And, you know, that was the start of my transformation process.
So this wasn't in a church, it wasn't in an evangelistic meeting, it wasn't some meeting that your mates had invited you to try and get you to become a Christian. Mm-mm. It wasn't any of it. This is in a club.
It's in a club.
You've been doing drugs, you're dealing drugs.
Yep.
You're high on drugs.
Yep.
How do you know it wasn't the drugs?
Well, you definitely know the difference when the Holy Spirit hits you and when drugs hits you. There's a big difference. Massive
difference. We'll take your word for that. We'll take the word for that. That's good. Yeah. What about you, Andrew? Tell us about your transformation story.
So mine's a little different. I grew up in a Christian family, and around the age of 16, the church I was in, I was invited to confirmation classes to confirm my baptism, my faith in Jesus, which I did. And at that time, it was definitely a meaningful decision, and there began to be some transformation in me. I was a shy, angry kid, and I started to see God work and deal with that anger in my life. And so that was great. But then as I got a bit older, I got caught up in things. So I got caught up what the Bible would talk about being the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, and desires for other things. And these things really pulled me away from God. And so it was a bit of a struggle. My growth was not an instant transformation. But what I've seen in recent years is that God has really done a work in my life. And he's made a transformation. What he's shown me is how much he loves me. How much he loves me, Andrew. I know how much he loves everyone. I've always understood God loves us, but I really, it's gone from here, to my heart, that God really loves me. And that's absolutely transforming when you know that God loves you. And so now, as a man in his late 50s, approaching my retirement phase and a new transition in life, I'm looking back on my life, and I'm seeing, if it wasn't for the love of the Father, for the amazing work of the Spirit in my life, I could easily be very depressed, I could easily be divorced, or I could easily be dead. But God has saved me again and again. Wow. And shown his love for me personally, and for that I've been transformed.
Awesome. How about you, Fred?
Yeah, so, you know, I have a bit of a different one. I grew up in a children's home, so not having a father figure in my life, you know, the world showed me what it is to be a son and what it is to be a man. And, you know, and that's how I grew up in my life. And fast forward into my military service, I lost my family in a matter of about 8 months. And not long after that, I lost my best mate during a training exercise in the army. So I grew up in a very bitter environment. So I became judgmental to people, you know, about people, and I have a lot of rage and anger I had to deal with. And sort of that filtered through to our family and my work life as well. And then Andy, you know, Andy has been praying for me for a long time. And she joined the church and you know, become part of a small group. They invited me to join, and I just said yes just to keep him quiet. And then I went to church, but nothing really changed for me, because honestly, the people, sometimes I see the people as going to church, and what I do is exactly the same thing. So, and then the men in a small group decided one day, they said, well, let's go to the Karoo Mighty Men Conference. So the Mighty Men Conference is a conference they have in South Africa for men. So I said, no, I can't, because I've got to have meetings that day, so you guys go ahead. So time arrived, and sure enough, Fred had meetings. He can't go. The guy says, well, you know what? After your meetings, fly down, and we pick you up at the airport. And I was actually stunned, because they pushed me back into a corner, and I had no more excuses. They knew I was actually lying. But so we left that morning. But what Annie said, it took a good couple of kicks and a slap to get me in a car to go down there. And I still remember packing a couple of beers and some meat for her, because we're going to have a massive party there or something. And we arrived and we pick up, we set up our camp and I saw men being full of joy. I see Jesus flags flying everywhere. I see men singing together. I see men praying together. And something sort of resonates in me. But during that time, when all this was going on, I was sitting in my office one day, because here I was at the pinnacle of my career, and I was asking myself this question: is this really all that life has to offer? Here I am being a president of a company, but I felt empty inside, and I was chasing the things of this world to fill that. So that night we went to the conference and we got together. And I think that night I heard the message about Jesus preached for the first time that I've never heard it preached before, because the person on stage talk about the things of men to men, and I can relate that, and it resonated with me, and I thought to myself, you know what, I wanna have what these men have, because something in these men are different than what I have. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give Jesus a chance. If he can do something like this in these men's life, he surely can do something in my life. And now, the Karoo, that time of the year, is a freezing. It's like in the desert. So I got into the sink tub or something with ice cold water. And it was so cold, I could hardly get the words out of the sinner's prayer or something. And I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I was baptized. And I remember coming out of that water that I felt extremely warm inside. It was like the old Fred was left behind in that tub, and it was like, I think Jesus just ripped that heart of stone out of my body, and it left it there, and I replaced it with the heart of stone, because something changed. Not because of the baptism, because I knew that day. I could feel inside of me there was a transformation took place.
And that's a great point about the changes that people see when we're born again. And so what for you guys changes did you see, did other people see in you when you actually were transformed by Jesus?
For me, transformation has touched every part of my life. And so it transformation affects what I watch, what I read, what I listen to, what I eat, what I drink. All of those things are things that, because that's how God wants me to live. And I haven't been doing those things all the time since I became a Christian, but lately God's been saying to me, you haven't been caring for yourself. You haven't been allowing me to work through you the best way possible. And the way you need to do that is to start making these changes inside yourself. And another really important part of that is spending quality time with my Father, God, each day, and just hearing from him again and again how much he loves me, and asking him that question, Father, show me how much you love me, and it's just, it brings tears when you realize how much God loves you.
Yeah. How about you, Joy?
I think for me, the transformation process, it's still ongoing. But initially, my parents, and I was spending a lot more time with them and not being secluded. And I used to isolate myself because I didn't want to show my sin to the rest of the people and to the rest of the church. I wanted to isolate myself. And so initially that was my transformation, being exposed and being vulnerable to people, I guess, to share my story. But that was just the start. And a lot of the time, like you said, Matt, to have transformation, you need to have a willingness to be transformed. And sometimes I wasn't willing to be transformed. And so that set me back sometimes. But it's a journey. And so to this day, I'm still being transformed. But I think the heart there now is I'm willing. Yeah.
Which is a great point, because I said transformation is both an event and a process. Fred, you know, what about, how have you seen that process play out in your life over the years?
Yeah, Matt, certainly there were some things that sort of changed immediately for me. I've been set free from pornography, the constant swearing, you know, I've lost some friends. You know, we four friends used to play golf. I know them for 20 years, and we used to play golf every year. And that same year I got saved, that Friday night was something that I talk about a gospel and a church, and one of the guys got so upset with me that the next morning, I realized that these guys don't share the same values. I packed my bags and I left. So some of the tough decisions I have to make, but... you know, if that is a process you're willing to take, you need to take those steps. And I started making tea for Andy, believe it or not. and the way I conduct a business might change for me. The way you speak, the way you talk, the way you see people. I mean, and it's a continuous process. Yeah.
So your dads, and we'll conclude with this, and new dads, you know, you guys have older kids who are now adults in their own rights. You know, what would you want to say to them about the transformation and the importance of it in their lives? Joy, let's start with you.
Yeah, I said something different in the 9 a.m., but I think after resonating on that, one of the biggest things that I was able to do is always go back to a church family every time, you know, I went backwards, and always having a support system there. And so to those parents that, you know, sometimes say they don't have the time or they don't want to invest. You can invest in health. You can invest in, you know, a house. Invest in your kids and take them to a place of safety where they feel safe and they can, you know, pour out their heart to people that will take care and look after them. It's the best place for your kids.
Yeah.
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 So.
I remember when my... second son, Peter, was about 5. He gave me a Father's Day card that said, to the second best father in the world. And I said, who's the best? And he said, your Heavenly Father, Dad. And that's what I want him to know, that his Heavenly Father loves him.
Awesome.
And like that father in the prodigal son story, he's just dying for you to come home to him.
Awesome. Fred?
Yeah, so... for me, you know, I believe if, you know, tell your kids the importance of the people in this church here, because we're all running in this race. Instead of letting focus on the power and the positions and the titles that we all strive for, because those things will not fill what we search for. That's sort of what I want to leave them with.
Awesome. Let's put our hands together for these guys. Great. Thank you.